I would like to read, as we are in the text, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, once again. Verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the observance of communion. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And it is a great anticipation as we open the Word of God that we anticipate the things that you will do in our lives personally to help us understand this topic, to understand what you expect of us, and most of all, Father, to be willing to submit to your word. So we commit our time to you now. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. In the series on the true church is what we are taking a break from Luke from right now. In the series on the true church, the subject of ecclesiology, we have gone back to the basics. That's where we are. I'm not going to rehearse everything up to that point, but we've gone back to the basics by asking the question, why should the true church meet? Why should the true church meet as we understand the church's people? Last week, we studied reason number one that came out of verse 42 that you can look at it. And in verse 42, they met there to learn to be committed to the apostles' doctrine. They were committed to doctrine. They were committed to truth. They devoted themselves to this. They devoted themselves, if you will, to the word of God. It was vital. Why? We learned that we needed to be devoted to it, and we need to be devoted to the word of God so we're not tossed to and fro. We're not confused about the doctrines of Scripture. So we're not confused on what we believe or why we should believe what we believe. So that we are not led astray by the deception of Satan or by the deception of individuals who would lead us astray. So that's number one. They met, and vital to their meeting, when they met, there was a purpose. And the purpose, number one, was we need to know what the teachings of the Lord are. How else can we function if we don't know what the word says, if we don't know what the teachings now in the New Testament are coming down through the apostles? And today we come to reason number two where they met. And it's pretty straightforward. You can see it in your bulletin. It is fellowship. It says in verse 42 that they continued devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine and to fellowship. That is a very relevant and very important term to us, is it not? Or it should be. Why? It's part of our name. We are Fellowship Bible Church. We need to know what it means. Also, it's something that most Christians talk about. I was having fellowship the other day with somebody, or I'm going to a meeting and we're going to have fellowship together. This is the best time of my fellowship and whatever. And it's a term we toss around an awful lot as believers. So we need to understand what we're dealing with. Excuse me. Most of you know what the word meaning is. It comes from, and there are a couple of words in Scripture, but it comes primarily from koinonia. Okay, there's a noun form, there's a verb form. And the idea is, to try to get it into our minds, it is sharing. It is partnership. It can be translated, and is indeed in some cases translated that way. It is translated communion. We just observed the Lord's table, commonly called communion. Communion is another way. Another way to try to put it to you in simplicity, it's to have in common. It's the idea of sharing. It's the idea of having in common. It's a term that we know and we've heard. While we don't usually hear a lot of Greek terms, it's one that we've heard about and we understand. It's the idea of sharing. Early Christians, notice this in verse 42, continually committed themselves to this. This wasn't a once in a while thing. They were committed to it. They were committed to learning the Word of God, and they were committed to sharing. They were committed to partnership. They were committed to a having in common concept. Now, what was the basis of this? What is the basis of fellowship? Sharing what? What are they sharing? What is this concept? What is the idea? First of all, understand this. There is a positional aspect to it. A positional aspect even to fellowship. What do you mean? They had salvation in Christ. They had eternal life. Every one of them and every one of us who are part of the body of Christ have a positional relationship in which we share something in common, in which we participate together, in which we have a partnership in. And what is that? It's our salvation in Christ. It's eternal life, if you will. And they are part of the body of Christ, and so are we. So the first positional basis of having fellowship, if you will, is who we are in Christ. Without that, there is no fellowship. There is no partnership. There is no really common. Yes, we're human beings, but as far as spiritually speaking, the foundational thing, the positional thing, is that we are fellow participants in the body of Christ. It's who we are. And I'm going to give it to you very quickly with a couple of verses. Go with me. Keep your finger right here. But go with me to the go with me to Philippians chapter 1 first. Go with me to Philippians 1. Not too far away. Where we'll see the term used. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of things here. Philippians 1, verse 5. Notice, he says, in view of your participation, there's the word, in the gospel. We participate. We are partners in the gospel. Go with me to chapter 2, same book, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, you see? There's a common ground. We all have the indwelling Holy Spirit. There is a fellowship. There's a bond, if you will, in the Spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see this. I could just name the verses to you, but it's better if you see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 9. Verse 9. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son. What is the concept? Again, it's positional. We belong to the Son. We are one in common. We are partners in the Son. And we are also partners in faith. Go with me to Philemon. And there's only one chapter, so go to Philemon, just before the book of Hebrews, for those of you that might have a little difficulty finding it. It's just before Hebrews. I'm not even there yet. It's so small, sometimes it's hard to get to it. Okay, Philemon, verse 6. He says, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith, you see, I just want you to see that. All of these are dealing with positional. But there's also something else very important. Go with me nearby to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Many of you have quoted from these verses and know these verses and use them in relationship to prayer. But I want you to see 1 John chapter 1 in verses 3. Let's see where we'll stop, but I'll pick it up in verse 3. It says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. These things we write so that your joy may be complete. Hold on to that one. This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie, we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship, notice this, with one another. And I could go on. And you see it's being repeated and repeated. What is the point? First of all, the first basis of fellowship is that we are one in Christ, and that means we are in fellowship with the gospel, we are in fellowship with the Son, we are in fellowship with the Father, we are in fellowship with the Spirit, we are in fellowship because of our faith, and basically we are in fellowship, don't miss this, with one another, because we are members of the body of Christ. So the first and basic understanding, when we talk about fellowship, or I'm going to have fellowship, or I'm having fellowship, we are one in Christ. And why is that important? Before we go to Acts, because we are not in this church, Fellowship Bible Church, because we're one in color. We're not in Fellowship Bible Church because we're one in nationality. It's not true. We're not here in Fellowship Bible Church or part of the body of Christ because of our social status, that we're all on the same level. No. We are not in this room. We are not part of the body of Christ because we are all male, or we are all female. It's got nothing to do with gender whatsoever. And we're not also part of the fellowship because this is my group of friends. If that's the concept that you have of fellowship, it's a total misunderstanding of what fellowship is all about. First of all, go with me to Galatians chapter 3, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And by the way, this passage that I'm about to read is abused by the world, and many of the movements that are going on, they use this passage as their backup, and it's not done right. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26, if you are all the sons of God, what's missed is this: through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, we've already learned that we are members of the body of Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. And then he says this: neither is there Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Okay? And that's the point. We're one in Christ, and that's what brings us together. It isn't race, it isn't social status, it isn't gender, it isn't any of those things. So number one, there is a positional aspect. But what I want to concentrate on is the second aspect. And what is that? It is the conditional aspect. What do we mean by that? Notice now, back in Acts chapter 2, in our text, that it's talking about fellowship, and it says in verse 42 that they were continually devoting themselves to what? They were eating together. And in fact, in verse 42, there's a little amplification when you look at the word and the way it's used here. I'll just mention this briefly, because it says, and to fellowship, then there's no and, it says to breaking of bread and to prayer. The observance of the ordinances and prayer were part of the fellowship. And I believe that's proper in the structure. That what you've got is, part of this fellowship was the observance of ordinances, which we just did, and prayer time. But that isn't it. And it's very important. What is it? They shared with one another. If you look at verses 44 and verses 45, they met one another's needs. They were together. They had all things in common, verse 44. Verse 45, they were selling their property and possessions. And what did you have? Fellowship was also sharing in one another and sharing with one another. Now, let me address something very quickly here, but briefly. What is that? This text, verses 44 and verse 45, is no basis for communal living. It has been used that way. That what God's called us to is to live in a commune, right? No. And I'll show you why in the text in just a second. But let me start with this. Right from Genesis still through today, the basic unit that God has designed is the family. That is still true today. By God's definition of a family, not by the definition that men take. I want you to notice that they opened their homes. I want you to notice that they did not sell everything and pool their resources. That's what a commune is. And that's what still some today who are living in communes think. Just go sell everything you got and give it to everybody else. And that's not what they did here. You said, that's what I'm reading. No, it's not. You're not reading it close enough. What are you talking about? They didn't go sell everything and pool the money. How do you know that? Well, look at the text, verse 46. They still met from house to house every day. They didn't sell their houses. They still owned them. Secondly, if you look at the tense, it was the imperfect tense here. Why is that important? They were selling property on a continuous basis. They didn't just go sell everything and give it all into a commune. Not at all, or a community. As they saw the needs, that is the tense there. It was completely voluntary. It wasn't required. It was completely voluntary so that as they saw someone's got a need, I have no way of meeting that. Well, however, I can sell this. I don't need this anymore. And that will help that person with the need. Tomorrow, somebody else might sell something else. And that's the way they did it. They did it on the basis of as the need arose, they were so concerned for one another that they met the need by selling. It wasn't a commune. Absolutely wrong. In fact, I will only give you the reference to save myself time because of what I want to get to. To show you that it was voluntary, you look at your own at Acts chapter 5, and is the reference, verse 4, where you have some people that died. And what happened was they sold their property, right? And then they gave their property so that they would look good. And the husband and wife got together and said basically this. I'm paraphrasing it. Let them know that this is all we had and we sold it and just what good givers we are. And you know what? They were struck dead. Number one, it was voluntary. Because the apostle turns around and says, didn't you know you had that? As long as you had it, you can do what you will with it. You didn't have to sell it. And the problem wasn't that you sold it. The problem was, he says in the text, you lied to the Holy Spirit. You deceived people. And so the issue there was, so that we understand it here, it was voluntary, and they saw a need, but they tried to present themselves, you want to see what I give? You know what I gave up? You know what I sold? And the wife came in later, and she died just like he did, because she lied as well to the Holy Spirit. That's what the context says. So this wasn't a commune. Nowhere in Scripture that I'm aware of does the Lord tell you or me today, go sell everything you've got and just give it to the Lord and just go sit in a corner and wait and become part of a commune and everything will work out. Not at all. In fact, he tells you to be wise with your funds. However, I will deal with giving because it's in this text. So stay tuned, but that's not today. Today's fellowship. Let me know when that is, Pastor Dan, so I'm not here. Only kidding. Only kidding. They were involved. Here's what I want you to catch. What you want to see with fellowship is they were involved in one another's lives. Catch that. And I want you to understand that because I'm going to say a few things here this morning. We think of real fellowship sometimes as a meal. We're going to have fellowship and we're going to have a meal. We talk about, I'm having fellowship, and we sit down at the tables, and we're talking about sports. We're talking about politics. We're talking about things that are going on in the house and whatever. And by the way, those things are good. I love to eat. Meals are good. I love to sit down and talk about things. We have a class that's going on that is dealing with our relationship to government. It's been very appropriate to what's been going on with the elections, to get a Christian's perspective on things. But is that real fellowship? Those things are good, but listen carefully, folks. We got to be honest. That's all surface. That's all up here. That's not true fellowship. We need, listen carefully, we need to get to know one another intimately. Now, that may rub you wrong this morning, but that's what true fellowship is. And that's what you've got in this text in chapter 2. They were so tuned into one another that they knew when another person had a need and they responded how they could do to it. They didn't ignore it. They were into one another's lives. Now hold on to your hat. I'm going to give you a couple of statements. Listen carefully. The true church of Jesus Christ was never designed by God to be a body of believers who would fill a building on Sunday morning with unconnected people seeking to worship him. I tried to put that in the most general terms that I could because of my experience in life. Let me repeat that. The true church has never been designed by God to be a body of believers who would fill a building on a Sunday morning that were unconnected people seeking to worship him. How many people think, I'm going to church Sunday to worship? And I'm going with believers, but nobody's connected. Let me give you another one. The body of Christ was never to be a body. Listen carefully now. And is this opinion? Yes, as I study the word. The body of Christ was never to be a body where lonely, hurting, struggling believers come and listen to a message and have no interaction with any believers, walk out, go home, and continue to be alone, unconnected, and discouraged in their Christian life. Many churches, that's what's happening. Lonely, hurting, struggling believers come, they listen to a message, they evaluate a message, and they have no interaction with anybody, and they go home, and they're just as discouraged, just as unconnected, and uninvolved and alone. That's not fellowship. Just as attending services does not cut it with God, nor does it cut it with your spiritual growth or mine. That's why we have Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 28. I want you to see something quickly here. Hebrews, I know you know this one, but turn to it anyway. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, listen. Though you know it, verse 24. It says, and let us consider one, and how can I consider if I'm not involved? Let us consider how to stimulate. I'm to be involved in considering how to stimulate one another to love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together. Why do we meet together? Do you see how it ties in? As is the habit of some. Some don't even want to meet anymore. Some don't want to go to church services anymore. They don't. Why? They don't understand the basics of why we're supposed to be coming together. But notice what it says. Encouraging one another. How can I possibly encourage one another if I'm not involved in one another's lives? And all the more. You say you see the Lord coming back. You say you're looking for the rapture. That came up in class this morning. I said, you know what I hope is going to happen very soon? And everybody said before election day that we're all going to be raptured. And so that was in my class. Right? Okay. But get the point here. We're looking forward for the Lord's return, right? All the more I should understand what fellowship is. And all the more I should be stimulating others. That's what it says. I want you to see something else. Go with me to Proverbs 18. You say, you don't understand, Pastor Dan. I'm a private person. Stick around for the rest of the message. Don't run away. But I want you to chew on this one. Proverbs 18, verse 1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. And it doesn't stop there. And quarrels against some sound wisdom, all sound wisdom. Watch verse 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. That is pretty strong. You want to be a person that isolates yourself, doesn't want to get involved in anybody else's life, doesn't want anybody to know about your life, and you're going to isolate yourself? The scripture says it goes against all sound wisdom, and it's a fool that is going to do that. All you care about is what you think and your own opinion. That's pretty strong. Listen, remember, I need to get to the practical. Remember, we are a body. All the parts are connected. That's true with our physical body. All the parts are connected. How could they share with one another's needs if they didn't know what one another's situation was? In reality, listen to me carefully. In reality, we are all, we, me, you, we are all hurting people. There isn't a Christian alive that I know of that is not hurting in some way, whether that be physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Sometimes we have a facade and we think that everybody else is fine and I'm the one with struggles. And I just don't fit in. And you know what? Pastor Dan has no struggles. I literally was counseling someone one time. It was a man. And I was counseling in an area. And in the middle of the counseling, he said, "I know you never have a problem with that." I said, "Really? Are you kidding me?" We all have struggles with these things. And we have to know how to deal with them. We have people that are believers that are facing depression, that are facing family issues, that are trying to just see, where do I fit in the church? What does God have for me? That are battling their flesh and their thoughts and their eyes every day, that are struggling financially. That is the true body of Jesus Christ on the practical side of it. We think everybody else is perfect. We think everyone has got perfect kids. I'm not perfect. My marriage isn't perfect. My kids aren't perfect. And on it goes. My prayer life isn't perfect. My spiritual walk isn't perfect. And if I can say that, guess what? Neither is yours. And you know it, but the problem is you don't want anybody else to know it. Why? We want to walk and think, you know, it's a perfect person. You know, this is what, you know, I have my Sunday morning face on. Get me out of here. Hurry up, passing in. You know, that's image, folks. That's image. Now, you ready for this? You don't understand, Pastor Dan. You don't understand. Do you know how dangerous that is? If I share my true conditions and I let it be known in the body of Christ and I open myself up, you know what? I get hurt. And I've been hurt before, and you know what? If I open myself up, I am going to get hurt again. You're right. You're right. But it's no excuse not to do what you're supposed to do. You're probably right. Why? Jesus Christ opened himself to everybody. He was betrayed by the very persons he loved. He was scorned upon by the very people he helped. Did he suffer? Yes, he did. You say, well, that's Jesus. Well, how about Peter? How about Paul? How about Paul? Paul was beaten. Paul said, "How I am the chief of sinners." Paul said, "When I stood, there wasn't one man that stood with me, though I committed my whole life to the things of God." You think he got hurt? You think he got hurt by the people that he named, who turned back to the world and wanted nothing? Absolutely, he got hurt. And you know what? Never mind about the body of Christ. In your family, it is the people that are closest to you that are going to hurt you the most. That's true. Your spouses, your children, and guess what? So are you going to hurt them as close as you are. And in the body of Christ, it's absolutely no different. You say, well, that's not too comforting. How about this? Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. What is true fellowship? It's not surface just coming to church and talking about the ball game. Nothing wrong with that. Not talking about the latest in politics. Nothing wrong with that. But it's really letting people, you know what? I'm struggling at work. I have a physical problem, and I'm telling you, it gets me down. I'm depressed. Oh, I don't want anybody to know that. You know what? Things are just not right. Can you pray for my husband and I? And can you pray for my wife and I? We're struggling with some things. Really? Can you pray for me? You know, I'm a single person. I don't have many friends. You know, I'm struggling at work. My family's not, I'm in tears all the time because of things that are going on in my life. Listen, Philippians chapter 3, let me make it very simple. With the word koinonia, look at verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus Christ, right, every knee shall bow We all know that one, right? That's Philippians 2:10. Philippians 3:10. Watch this. That I may know him. Praise the Lord. I really want to know God. I really want to walk with God. Now watch what he says. Not having my own righteousness derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Right? Verse 10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay? And what? Help me. Fellowship of what? The fellowship of what? His sufferings. I don't know. I can't take that, Pastor Dan. Being conformed to his death. Am I going to suffer as a Christian? Yes. Am I going to get hurt? Yes. Will I get hurt again? Yes. Did Christ get hurt? Did Christ suffer? Paul says that I might experience, and you know what? We see in the scriptures, the Corinthian church is an example. They were fighting with one another, devouring one another. All kinds of things were going wrong with one another. You know what? Paul didn't say, you know what? Blow up the church. Just get out of there. You know what he said? He said, stop the strife. He said, stop taking one another to court. Observe the communion table the way you're supposed to. Get back into the relationships that you're supposed to have. And let me put it to you this way. When other believers hurt you, you ready for this? That's your test. That's my test. That's my trial. When I've been pouring myself out and trying to get help and somebody turns against me, it's not right. But now it's a trial in my life. Am I going to react in a godly way? Or am I going to attack? Am I going to become bitter? Am I going to become angry? Am I going to walk away from the things of Christ? You understand? True fellowship was that they were into one another's lives and they knew who had problems. And they knew who had financial needs. And they knew who were out of the house. They knew who were being persecuted. They knew what was happening. And they, rather than criticize, got involved. And they tried to help in the situation. That's true fellowship in the body. I had a Band-Aid on. It's kind of silly, but I took it off after I showered this morning. But I had a Band-Aid on this hand. Why? This finger right there was giving pain. That simple little thing to my body, and something was wrong. Guess what? My body has already attacked it. It's already tried to heal it. Aren't you glad that when you get sick or you get problems, that you got an immune system that says, time for me to work. Attack. And when you've got another member that's hurting, you've got a brain that says, pain. Please take care. Do something. Sometimes as the body of Christ in a practical way, when you get down to the conditional relationship, we feel, it's paining, but I can't let anybody know because I don't trust anybody. The problem is with you. Are there going to be people that will, in an unloving way, become gossips over that? Unfortunately, yes. So you need to choose wisely how you share and what you do. But to absolutely avoid and have no contact with believers and to not get involved in believers' lives or to get people involved in your life is absolutely contrary to the way that God has designed for fellowship. Is God really sovereign? Do you really believe, do I really believe that to live is Christ and to die is gain? And that no matter what man does to me, it doesn't matter? Can you have the courage to have a guy like Stephen who is being stoned to death and he looks in the eyes of those people that are about to put him to death and he says, Lord, don't even charge their account. They don't know what they're doing. Can you have a guy like Peter who, after arguing even John Mark and Paul and all those arguments that took place, and later on have him turn around and say, wow, he's profitable. Can you really apply that iron sharpens iron And you know what? I needed to be rebuked. You want to know something? I'll just show you how open I'll be. I was meeting with someone one time in my office, and we were talking about some things. And he says, you know, Dan, one of your problems, he says, you're too proud. You want to know a true story? I turned around, looked him in the eye, I said, will you pray for me? I said, I need to take that before the Lord. One of the best things that ever happened. One of the best things that ever happened. We don't want people to touch us like that. We might get hurt. But that's what true fellowship is. Do I really believe that I am to love and to pray for those who hurt me? That's what the scriptures call for. You know, it's interesting. We need to take advantage of the opportunities. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15 for a minute. This church, they met not to just come into a building and go away. They met because they wanted to know what the Word of God said. And once they knew what the Word of God said, they came together because they knew this is a family. We're part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, we need to understand that we need to be involved in one another's lives. Who's hurting? How can I pray for you? How can I meet that need? How can I meet that need? How can you help me with this situation? Romans chapter 15. Beginning of verse 1. Now, and there's a whole context here, but now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength. And not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Why? Verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. He's the example. Yes, when we get involved in true fellowship, when we get involved in one another's lives, there's going to be hurt. But we're hoping that those that are stronger are going to lift us up. And they're going to help us to grow. And the best thing that we can do is point things out and be involved in one another's lives. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know this. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any, verse chapter 2, verse 1, any consolation of love, we're supposed to be known by our love. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, notice it's dealing with the word fellowship here in the English. If any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. How? Being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Folks, don't lose focus. Our purpose is to glorify God and is to be a church that represents him for the glory of God. And he goes on and he says, I'll make it practical. Watch. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. If I don't get hurt, if everything comes my way, if it's done the way I want, really? That's selfishness. It's all about you. It's all about your conceit, or all about me. Don't let it be that way, but in humility of mind, here it is, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do we do that practically? That's fellowship. This person on this side is more important than the person on this side. This person on this side is more important than the person on this side. We have too many in this world phony Christians who have an image that nothing's wrong, who don't want to be touched by anybody and want to just go home and be with the Lord when the Lord's not going to let you go home until we start dealing with these things and get involved to helping one another and really loving one another like we should. Verse 4, don't look out for your own personal interests. I could stop right there. It's my own personal interest if I am so concerned that I'm going to get hurt. That's my interest, that I won't even spend the time of getting involved in the body. I don't want to get to know anybody. I don't want to see anybody because some people hurt you. They do, just like you hurt others. Don't look on your own personal interests. Look on the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ. Let me be very practical as I close. Try to. We need to take advantages. You know, at Fellowship Bible Church, right now, for fellowship time, do you know when the biggest opportunity is that we have? It's coffee time. It really is. Well, we have time between the services. You come in here and sit down, and we ought to take advantage of that. I don't care whether you drink coffee. I don't care whether you drink juice. That should be a time in which we come together where these are members of the body of Christ coming together, and you know what? They're people that you're praying for. They're people that you're seeing, are people you don't know. How many of you, don't raise your hand, have come to this church for a while and don't know 10 people in this church? Why? Why? Get to know them. Because you have needs. Well, I don't want to let them know about that. Well, let's start out by you learning what their needs are so you can pray about that. Then maybe you'll open up and see that you're not alone. And by the way, we're trying to improve the fellowship times. I said it to a couple of tables today. We're working hard because that's an environment. There's nothing wrong, again, talking about politics and the game, but how about spending those times? Forget it. If you're with your friends, too, at the same table all the time, how about really talking about some spiritual issues? How about talking about what's been put in the table? How many of you saw the sign that was on the tables? Yeah, some hands are going up. You know what it says? It says on it, thankfulness. We're in the month we know as Thanksgiving, and you know what it says below it? What are you thankful for? Don't raise your hand. Have any of you even at the tables sat down, looked at that sign and said, you know what? How about we talk about some things we can be thankful for as a church? Let me talk about some things I can be thankful for in a family. You know, we're too interested in talking about everything else. Take advantage. Fellowship nights. We call it fellowship nights. It's only 4 times a year now. And do you know that we hardly have anybody coming out to it? It's an opportunity for you 4 times a year to come to an evening service, to go in and really have some true fellowship when you can talk. How's things going in your life? How's your job? Hey, I'm struggling with it. You are? Let me go tell everybody. No. That's what we're afraid of. And it's honest. We need to do that. Small groups, special meetings that we have, special days, work days. Those are great days to come out. Oh, you just want to get the church all fixed up. Well, I do, but that's not what it's about. What I'm talking about, it's a great opportunity to see kids interacting and get to know the kids and get to know the adults and begin to start talking. There are so many opportunities right here at Fellowship Bible Church for us to have true fellowship and really, hey, how's things going? I heard you're struggling with that. Hey, how's that physical situation happening? I can't tell you all the details, but could you pray for me? One of my kids, things are struggling. And we turn around and say, yeah, I can pray that. Oh, that's an encouragement to that person. And you know what? To turn around and say, you know what? I went through that. I had that same struggle with one of my kids. Oh, really? I thought you never had any struggles with anything. And we begin to find out what we're really like. Let me close with this. I have a ton of verses. I won't get to them. And I mean that sincerely because I want to reduce it so that when covering the church, I do it with just the right amount of messages. The idea behind it, and I would direct you to the Gospel of John. But you know, our fellowship, the second basis of fellowship is that believers are only part of a body. And so positionally, it's because of who we are in Christ. Conditionally, it's because we are part of one another in that body of Christ. And God designed it that way for this reason. Let me summarize it with this. That your joy might be full. That your joy might be full. And that's why, according to John, we're in him and he's in us. And we're in one another so that we would be complete and have joy in him. And he says this in John's gospel. I won't turn there. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you're going to have peace. Camille talked about that last night. This should be the place where we don't just come to hear a message. We come as a body, concerned for one another, to hear what God's word says, and to fellowship. And you need to take advantage of being here, to fellowship at coffee time, to fellowship when you can. And you know what? Start opening up and you say, no way, Pastor Dan. As I said, that's your struggle with the Lord. We all need one another. And we need to share in the body of Christ. We meet to study. We meet to grow, and we meet because we're members. I can't do without you. I can't do without my hand. You say, oh, yeah, I can cut my hand off. Yeah, but it's not the same. And I can't do without you, and you can't do without me, and you can't do without them, and they can't do without you. You might think so, but you will find out this. If you end up staying away from the fellowship and staying away from things, your Christianity will dry up and your spiritual walk will go downhill. They continually devoted themselves to one another. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your grace. I thank you for the grace of the assembly as I did go over. We thank you, Father, that you have designed it such that we are to desire the apostles' doctrine, the word of God, but we're also to desire our fellowship one with another. Help us to do that right here at Fellowship Bible Church, that we might grow, that we might know how to pray for one another, how to encourage one another, and how to cry with one another, so that, Father, you'd be glorified. Thank you for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name.